It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Glad you could be here as we're in conversation with Brown County's CEO and chief elected official to get a better grasp of what counties are facing as they put together 2023 budget proposals. Brown County's $353 million spending plan is expected to go before the county's board toward the end of the month. Join in on sales tax revenue, property tax millage, federal stimulus dollars, and shared revenue as your county puts together a budget. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Troy Streckenbach is the Brown County executive. Troy, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thank you, Kate. I appreciate the opportunity. It's great to be here.
Good. So you're proposing to cut property taxes by more than 10%. How can your county afford to cut property taxes while still maintaining the level of services?
You know, so we in 2017 introduced a debt reduction tax relief infrastructure plan where we essentially had set the stage for the county to enact a sales tax with the ultimate goal of eliminating debt, reducing our debt levy payment, and ultimately reducing our overall tax rate. And so what we've seen over the course of the last, since 2017, we've eliminated roughly $80 million of debt. We are right now experiencing a 40-cent reduction in our overall tax rate. We've doubled roughly our investment in infrastructure. So we're fixing our roads. We're doing things that have been kind of kicked down the road as far as the, you know, preventive maintenance and maintaining our assets. And so overall, we've been able to kind of plan out this, and it's kind of working the way we anticipated. Of course, net new construction overall is not keeping up with inflation. So you are seeing counties throughout the state of Wisconsin struggling to maintain the level of services. And all of us counties are, every year going through that budget and, you know, making decisions about what should maintain, what's a good return on investment in regards to the property taxpayers and the constituents overall, and then trying to figure out how do we, continue to provide a good level of service for the residents of Brown County.
How much of your formula there has been boosted by federal economic stimulus money?
So Brown County received roughly $51 million in ARPA dollars. And the county board, through its oversight committees, have allocated roughly $23 million of those. And the remaining balance has been identified and will be allocated over the course of the next 2 years. Some of that is going to issues such as retention of staff and one-time payments. We, like every county, we are experiencing difficulties in retaining both 911 telecommunicators, our correctional officers, our nurses in our psychiatric hospital. And so we're looking at ways that we can utilize some of those dollars to maintain and retain. And at the same time, we're taking those dollars and investing them in flooding around the area. We're investing in our tourism center. We're investing in things that will help our economy come back since the pandemic.
One more time, though, circling back to property taxes, as we see property values have been soaring everywhere. I mean, the latest U.S. affordability report says the portion of average wages needed for monthly home payments has risen at the fastest rate since 2000. What do the rising values mean for your tax collections?
Well, of course, the overall assessed value of the county in the past 10 years has gone up by $10 billion for Brown County. So that net new construction and value, of course, helps the current property taxpayers, but it also brings in more value and revenue for governments to provide the services for growing economies. Now, where you have places in the state that perhaps are not seeing that same type of growth, And then, of course, the inflationary factors, they are certainly feeling the stress of the two not meeting up in terms of providing services with the needed revenues to support. So Brown County has experienced growth in the past decade and continue to grow this year. And that's helped, but the inflationary costs are higher than what the net new construction, the value of the assessed values in terms of helping the overall county with its services.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about Brown County's 2023 budget proposal with Troy Streckenbach, who's Brown County executive. You can join in on your county budget proposal, questions you have about Brown County's formula and how it sees it balancing its budget going forward and priorities, 800-642-1234. You mentioned, Troy, staffing crunch. And in August, the Wisconsin Policy Forum reported state and local government employees are retiring or leaving the workforce at the fastest rate since at least 2002. How can counties maintain adequate staffing for services?
Yeah, so if we look at our core mandated services, such as for us, you know, we obviously manage and oversee the sheriff's office, court systems. A lot of those dollars come from the state. So, you know, right now we're having a very good discussion through the Wisconsin Counties Association and a delegation that is working on trying to address the shared revenue dollars for maintaining some of our mandated services. And of course, as a county, we are of course looking at just what can we do within our own budgetary aspects to maintain. And sometimes that requires us to make some tough decisions, but it's no different than if someone was at their home and they had to make some tough decisions about how do we, you know, maintain one asset over another. And so for the county, we of course are looking at, you know, our correctional officers, we're looking at our 911 operators, we're looking at our nursing staffing, and just our general employees. And we are coming up with ways for us to address that. But it's not been easy. And of course, we are making some tough decisions.
You bring up shared revenue, and the state revenue department last month provided the estimated shared revenue amounts local governments will receive in 2023. Just a couple examples here. Green Bay's estimate, $17.6 million. Brown County, nearly $3.4 million. Is shared revenue a fair share with the state? What is your perspective?
So, you know, if you look at the counties, you know, just what county government does, of course, we're a lot different than municipalities. If you just kind of look at some of the increases of, you know, abuse and neglect cases, elder abuse, food share, Medicaid, you know, what it costs us to send a child to Lincoln Hills, you know, the costs are associated with a lot of the things that are kind of mandated aspects of the extension of the state. That we operate as county governments, those costs have gone up quite considerably. But if you look at the last, since 2005, roughly, shared revenue has dropped by roughly 9%. And so while our cost of operating county government has gone up, the shared revenue hasn't maintained at a level. And so we are struggling to do a lot of the state's work. And of course, we're trying to communicate that through the Wisconsin Counties Association with both the governor's office and the state legislature to try to find a way for us to address that challenge for us to fund a lot of the mandated services that the counties operate.
Brown County's chief elected official Troy Streckenbach with us has a proposed budget for next year that will increase spending but cut the county's portion of property taxes. We're working through the bits and pieces here. Join in the situation with your county budget for 2023. Tough choices your community is grappling with. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. We'll be right back. is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As we examine the budget picture for Brown County in northeastern Wisconsin, it's a jumping off point, if you will, on what county budget discussions look like around our state. Brown County's CEO, Troy Streckenbach, has held the job for 11 years, and this budget proposal is a 13% increase from the 2022 budget. Still time to talk about county budget forecasts, 800-642-1234, and Troy Streckenbach stays with us. Let's bring on a call now. Jeff is here from Delafield. Jeff, hi. What would you like to bring up?
Yes, good morning. My concern is that, you know, so many of us are going through these same budget issues in counties, municipalities all over the state, and it seems like the go-to solution is always, well, increased development. And, you know, so many of us in the community where I live, we're seeing the same thing, but we're very concerned that all this development is just going to mean, you know, more traffic, more roads, environmental issues. And isn't that just going to increase cost in the long run? And furthermore, developable land is a finite resource. What happens when we run out of land to develop? We're not going to have that tool to turn to anymore. So those are my concerns. Thank you.
Jeff, thank you for bringing that up, that tension, Troy, with more development, more infrastructure. What do you make of that?
Well, Jeff brings up a really good point in terms of the way the state funds both, you know, county and local governments. We're very heavily reliant on property taxes. And so you see municipalities, counties throughout the state of Wisconsin wanting to see that growth to take place in their communities to help develop or provide for the revenues and the services that residents, you know, hope to expect. You know, when we think about taking trash out or having, you know, police services, you know, those general parks, sidewalks, all of those things cost money. And in order for us to be able to provide a lot of those services to residents, we need the types of revenues to support those type of things. So, you know, the state of Wisconsin is one of the highest property tax reliant states in the United States, and our diversification of revenue, such as a sales tax or income tax, is we're somewhat lopsided. And so hopefully through the state, over time, there will be more discussions about how to perhaps create more of a diversification of the revenue streams that that flow through to counties and municipalities to help maybe perhaps lessen the pressure on local communities to fund services that do not rely on the development aspect. But as of right now, that is the main source for local governments to generate the revenue necessary to fund the services that their residents seek.
As Jeff brings up development and infrastructure, just looking at your capital projects, your county listed nearly $750 million in capital construction it hoped to complete over the next 6 years. So how do you go about deciding what upgrades are essential with services for residents?
So, you know, obviously from the county's perspective, we're looking at infrastructure such as, you know, our, you know, things that we can help municipalities and be prepared for the types of growth that they're seeking. Ultimately, what we're trying to do is make sure that Brown County is a sought after community for both families and businesses to want to locate. So one, we're very conscious of our overall taxes. And of course, then we're also concerned about having the appropriate infrastructure, community amenities that will attract businesses and families to this area. So when we think about infrastructure, we're thinking interchanges off the interstates. We just recently celebrated the ribbon cutting of a VV-29 interchange in our northern part of the county, which was a huge support for the villages of Hobart, the villages of Howard. It helped public safety for a school district, but ultimately is going to create opportunities for economic development. And then yesterday we just announced in support with the Secretary of Craig Thompson through the Evers administration that they're going to be providing $50 million in this upcoming budget to help us build a bridge that's been talked about since the 60s. And so this is going to help our southern part of our county, but that total project from one end to the other is roughly a $175 million project. And so infrastructure is critical for us to be able to be competitive. And it also is important for us to make sure that we're maintaining our roads for good commerce.
Talking about Brown County's 2023 budget proposal with Troy Streckenbach, a Brown County executive. You can join in on county budget proposals, what you see for next year, 800-642-1234. Let's turn from infrastructure to young people, schools. Your budget is really asking the county library system to address equity gaps in reading proficiency, talking about, you know, one third of third graders in the county can read proficiently. What type of dollars do you want for libraries to change services?
So as you know, Brown counties are not necessarily responsible for the ultimate outcomes of our youth. You know, that really is a shared responsibility through parents and the school districts. What the county and through the leadership of our executive director of our consolidated library system, Sarah Sugden, basically saw that our reading proficiency for third graders was on a five-year decline, and that's just simply not acceptable. We as a county want to see what we can do in our spaces that we can help be part of the solution. When we think about our assets between the nine libraries that we oversee throughout Brown County, and the amount of children who are coming through, our library director wanted to see if there's a way for us to participate and offer services both for children, for parents, to see if there's ways for us to help, that child gain that reading proficiency, which we all understand is critical at that point in time in order for that child to be successful later on in high school and ultimately graduate. And so from our perspective, our library director wanted to step into the space, be more vocal about it. And we partnered up with a nonprofit called Achieve Brown County, which is their ultimate goal is to address that gap and the graduation rates in Brown County. And so we're hoping that through our Brown County library system, through our park system, through our Neville Public Museum, some of the assets that are Extension Brown County, all these areas have points in contact with children, and we're gonna make a high focus on what we can do to help change that declining trend and see it grow. We're one piece of the puzzle.
And now another piece here, moving to the opioid crisis and what you want to see out of Brown County Public Health. Explain in terms of how you want to use pharmaceutical settlement dollars for Brown County Public Health and how you want to address the opioid crisis in your county.
Yeah, so we're one of a few counties in the state of Wisconsin that has declared fentanyl as a public health crisis. I believe Waukesha County has done it as well. It's pretty alarming that the drug overdoses that are happening in Brown County, 79% of them this last year had fentanyl in them. We intend on creating a campaign around awareness, recovery, and action to address One, the long-term impacts of opiates, but more importantly, to make people aware, our youth, our parents, about the dangers around fentanyl. And it's kind of concerning. It's actually very scary to consider that the right now, the bad people are making counterfeit pills that would look like something that you would normally take for, managing an issue. And they're actually counterfeit as fentanyl, and people are dying from it. And so we are going to take those dollars and use some of those dollars to help us address a number of issues within Brown County, but also really look at how can we join forces with other counties in the state so that we can have a wider discussion. So that, because we understand that this doesn't have a border, this is not a county, this is it's the whole state, it's the whole country that's really struggling with this.
Troy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Look forward to coming back.
Troy Streckenbach is Brown County Executive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.